become as much better than the angels as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. We heard Christmas testimony about what Christmas means to people for 4 weeks now. Christmas means a lot of things. It means giving, sharing, loving, seeing, fellowship. But Christmas also means listening to Jesus Christ to hear what he has to say about God. The question is,
how do you listen when God speaks through Jesus Christ? How do you listen? We're living in a new day. There are more religious expressions demanding and clamoring for our allegiance and or acceptance than ever before in our country. But the crucial question is, what do you believe? What do you really believe about Christmas? What does it really mean to you? Has it changed your life in any way? If it has not, then you have not understood the full meaning of why Jesus really came. Do you believe the voices of the world or the voice of Almighty God as revealed to us in Holy Scripture? The faith of the Old Testament and the faith of the New Testament is that the God whom we worship as Christians is the God who communicates with you and me, his creation. We are his creatures. The Bible is a record of God's events of self-disclosure in which he has sought to communicate with you and me. You think about that. God has desired to communicate to you and me, the God of all creation, the God who created us, the God who created the whole universe, desires to have an intimate, ongoing, life-changing relationship with you and with me. And one way in which he communicates is through his natural creation. The psalmist declared, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." Another way God communicates is through what we call conscience. People have a sense of oughtness, of what is right and wrong, that God instills it in them. God communicates through a universal moral law to people's consciences. There's a sense of oughtness in every human being. They can either listen to that voice or they can disobey it. Sadly, all too many disobey. The writer of Hebrews declares that in many and various ways God spoke of old to our fathers by the prophets. God spoke through holy men moved by the Holy Spirit. Now think about that. Through Moses, God gave the Ten Commandments, 10 great laws, 10 eternal principles by which an ordered and stable society can be regulated, maintained, and perpetuated. These laws are self-executing laws in that to ignore or to violate a single one of them is to break oneself upon them. You break the laws end up breaking you. You're going to have to pay a price for violating God's eternal principles. So through Moses, God gave the Ten Commandments. Through Elijah, God called the nation of Israel away from the waste and desolation of idolatry and urged them to worship the one true and living God. He declared in 1 Kings chapter 18, 21 and 22, "How long will you falter between two opinions? Baal is God, then worship him. But if God is God, you worship him." That was a command that came to them. That was a challenge. What about you and me? Have we listened to the challenge of God through Elijah and forsaken the false gods that always disappoint, they never fulfill, never can, never will? The question is, are we worshiping the one true God with all of our hearts? There are so many gods in our world today. We think, well, preacher, we don't have the Baals like they had. Have some just as wrong as what they had. Some people make a god out of money, out of power, out of prestige, out of position. Anything that occupies first place in your heart is an idol. God deserves first place in our heart. So through Elijah, God called the nation of Israel away from the waste of desolation of idolatry and urged them to worship the one true living God. God is still calling us to worship him. He is the only one and true and living God. Through Isaiah, God spoke concerning his sovereign holiness in chapter 6, verse 1 of Isaiah. Isaiah went into the temple to pray with his mind on thoughts of an empty throne because good King Uzziah had died. As he prayed, God opened the eyes of his soul and let him see the eternal King sitting sovereign and supreme. He saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his presence, his glory just filled the temple where he was. He saw him as supreme, majestic, and holy on the throne of the universe. God revealed to this distraught prophet that though good King Uzziah was dead, the God of Israel was still on the throne. Isaiah confessed his own sinfulness and unworthiness and immediately experienced the cleansing of God when one of the seraphims came and purged the filth of his soul by means of a hot coal taken off the altar and touching his lips, signifying his cleansing of sin. And with that cleansing, there came a call to God's service, and Isaiah immediately volunteered. When God said, "Whom shall I send and who will go for me?" He said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." God had just dynamically changed that man's life. He heard what God was saying. What about you? What about me? Have we heard what God was saying through the prophet Isaiah? Have we really listened? Through a rustic country farmer prophet named Amos, God spoke to northern Israel concerning his own moral character and of the absolute necessity of his people being committed to righteousness and justice. It was Amos who declared that a moral God places moral demands on his people, that a God of integrity requires integrity on the part of his people. What about you and me? Do we operate every day on the basis of the integrity based on God's word? Have we heard God speak through Amos? To do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. To walk and live in integrity. Through Hosea, God spoke to the nation of Israel concerning his suffering, seeking love. Hosea is the evangelist of the Old Testament, the prophet through whom God revealed that there is hope in God's grace when all hope seemingly has disappeared. You see, in Hosea's domestic tragedy, God revealed his compassionate love for the wayward nation in the person of Gomer, the prophet's unfaithful, adulterous wife. How do we listen when God speaks? Have we heard what God was saying through the prophets of old? You see, the message of Christmas and the message from these verses in Hebrews declares that in these last days, God has spoken through his Son, who was born of a virgin in Bethlehem. Christmas means that we should listen to Jesus Christ as he speaks to us about God. For it is in Jesus Christ that God has made his full and final self-disclosure. Here's God's final word to you and me. There is no other word. The question is, are we listening? Are you listening? Are you listening to God's final word to you? The question becomes, and why should we listen? I suggest three simple reasons why we should listen. First of all, we should listen because Jesus is God's supreme word in Revelation. You see, God chose to reveal himself in the person and work, in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to understand something. Jesus Christ is declared to be the goal of history. The prophets spoke out of their own experiences of life. And out of those experiences, they grasped and expressed a fragment, a part of the truth of God. The puzzle finally took shape when Jesus came to give unity to the picture and fullness to the prophecies. The word which comes to us in Jesus Christ, both by what he said and by what and who he was, is a stronger and more inclusive word that God ever spoke through the prophets. When you read the Old Testament, you are reading the Word of God. When you read the pages of the New Testament and read the fourfold picture of Jesus in the Gospels and in the letters and Paul wrote, when you read these, you find that the Old Testament voices merge into one voice, the voice of the Son of God, one complete story in Jesus Christ. God's Word to you and me has been fully uttered in the Son. There's nothing left to be said. The Son forms the boundaries of history. You heard me say it before. We need to reemphasize it. History is his story. And history will find its consummation in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the goal of history. And everything in life is going to find its fulfillment in him. The question is, are you listening to his voice? Are you listening to what he has to say? He is looking into the future. As far as the eye of man can see, all the turmoil is going to end where Jesus said it would end, as recorded in the Gospel of Matthew and the great Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24 and Luke 21 and Mark 13 and in the book of the Revelation. Jesus himself is the terminating point of all history. All things are going to end in him. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Nothing began or exists but what began or existed in him. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 22, verses 10 through 14, talking about the final message, the final word. And he said to me, "Do not seal up the words of the prophets of this book, for the time is near. Let the one who does wrong still do wrong, and the one who is filthy still be filthy, and let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness, and the one who is holy still keep himself holy. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city." He's talking about end times, about his coming again, when he is going to bring all history together and conclude it as you and I know it and begin eternity. But are you listening to what he has to say? Are you ready for that day? You see, we need to understand, not only is Christ declared to be the goal of history, he is also declared to be the creator of all things. People listen to people of power. Powerful political and military leaders can command a crowd. Those who have power in the world of finance can command the attention of business people. But the inspired writer tells us that in Jesus Christ lies the creative power by which the universe was literally called into being. In John's Gospel, we're familiar with that passage. John chapter 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word." The Greek there is the Logos, the eternal Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. "And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." And listen to what he says. "All things came into being through him," through Jesus Christ. "And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." Jesus Christ is the one through whom the universe is literally called into being. In Colossians 1:16, Paul declares, "All things were created through him and for him." In him, all things consist in our world today. Found something interesting some time ago, a few years ago. In the hills behind Stanford University in California is a linear accelerator, a gigantic instrument some 2 miles long. And the question is, what is it for? Scientists are hoping it will prove to be a great lever by which they can pry the lid off the secrets that lie behind matter. They're trying to find out what makes the universe tick, what holds it together. As man probes deeper into the secrets of the universe around him, he discovers more and more that he is confronting the mystery of an untouchable, unweighable, unseeable, pure force. They ask, what is that force? Scientists never name it. In fact, they cannot name it, but the Scripture does. The Bible says that force is Jesus Christ, that he holds everything in place, whether it's large or small. The reason we can sit and stand or walk and not be hurled off into space through our earth is, even though our earth is whirling at a furious rate, is simply because he sustains the universe. He is the secret behind everything that exists. I also found something interesting several years ago in some of the scientific research. They discovered a matter called laminin. It is the center of molecules. It's a high molecular weight protein. It is the foundation for most cells and organs that make up our bodies. They are vital for the maintenance and sustenance and survival of our tissues. They're real tiny. And here's what's so interesting. When you look up the term laminin, they'll give you a picture of it. You know what it looks like? A cross. What does that say to us? Christ is the center of everything. Center of the entire world. And for you and me. Listen, we need to understand something. Ours is not a milquetoast God we're talking about, but the all-powerful creator of this universe created you and me. He is the center of everything. The question is, are you listening to what he has to say to you? He is also declared to be the heir of all things in verse number 2. In these last days, God has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. You see, the kingdom belongs to Christ. John declared in Revelation 11:15, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. I know the Bible teaches us we see not yet all things put under him. We're in the age, the church age, the age of grace. But there's coming a time when he's going to close up shop and call his people home to himself. He's going to initiate eternity. The question is, are you ready for the day? Are you listening to his voice? Ultimate victory. We like to be victorious, don't we? We like to win at everything. But Jesus Christ has won a great victory for you and me. Question is, have we accepted that victory he has won for us? Victory belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the Bible tells us in Philippians 2 that there's coming a day when every knee shall bow, things in heaven, things on earth, things under the earth, and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So no matter what a person may say they believe, they can be an atheist, they can be a skeptic, they can be an unbeliever, they can be of another religious belief. But I don't care who they are, there's coming a time when every person is going to bow the knee and have to confess that he is Lord. The question is, will they do it with the reverence of respect and joy and thanksgiving for being saved? Or will they have to admit, I rejected him? And hear some awful words, depart from me, you wicked, I never knew you. You see, Jesus Christ has fought the decisive battle of history through his coming in the flesh, assuming the form of a servant, taking upon himself our guilt, and dying as a sacrifice for our sins on the cross. God exalted him then by raising him from the dead, victorious over death, hell, and the grave, and has lifted him to the position of supreme authority in this world and in the world to come. It is through Jesus Christ, who is the heir of all things, that God speaks. Are you listening? Are you really listening to his voice? He upholds all things in the universe by the word of his power. This is not like the mythological character Atlas, who supported the dead weight of the earth upon his shoulders, but as one who carries all things forward on an appointed course. Jesus Christ keeps the universe on schedule. It is the same Christ who reflects the glory of God. Just as the radiance of the sun reaches the earth, so in Jesus Christ, the glorious light of God shines forth to illuminate the heart and the way of all mankind. He bears the very stamp of God's nature. Just as the image on a coin exactly corresponds to the device on the die used to make that coin, so the Son of God bears the very stamp of God's nature. He is God, a very God. He is the second person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three in one, he is God's Son. To see Jesus Christ is to see what God is really like. That's why the Apostle Paul declared in Colossians 1:19, in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. God in human flesh. God has spoken to you and me. God has spoken to the entire world. The question is, are you listening? He is the supreme word in Revelation. No person can make any excuse for not responding to his word and what he has revealed in us in Jesus Christ. No person will ever stand before a holy God and say, God, I didn't understand, I didn't have a chance. Every person will be given a chance to respond to the claims of Christ. The question is, are you willing to listen? But not only is he the supreme word in Revelation, Jesus is God's supreme word in salvation. In salvation. The Bible says he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Where the salvation of the soul is concerned, Jesus Christ is God's last word. Prior to Jesus coming, people experienced salvation through faith in God's promised Savior. But since Jesus Christ coming, people experienced salvation through faith in the revealed Savior. You see, God has sent his Son to earth to reveal himself, to show to you and me that he was loving, gracious, and kind, that he wanted to flood his grace and kindness upon you and me. He did this by bringing many sons to glory. When a person believes that Jesus Christ died and rose for him, the death and resurrection of Christ covers that individual. God takes the person's belief and counts it as the death of the resurrection of Christ. God identifies the person with Christ. He actually counts the person as having died and been resurrected with the Lord Jesus Christ when we accept him as personal Savior, when we are born again. So the person stands before God in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. They stand before God as righteous. They're justified. And someone has said rightly so, justified simply means just as if I'd never sinned. Justified. Made right in God's sight. As a result, when the person is ready to leave this world, the person is righteous and acceptable to God. God is able to transfer that individual into glory quicker than the blink of an eye. The person is transported into the very presence of God through Jesus Christ, death and resurrection. God is able to bring many sons to glory. This is the eternal purpose of God for man that is fulfilled through the salvation experience, through the new birth. And how wonderful it is. I'll be standing for the second time in less than 2 weeks, sharing the gospel message with the family of a loved one who has died. And in both situations, I could say, we believe this individual, when they closed their eyes in death down here, they immediately opened them in the presence of the Savior, for to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. Can you say that? Can you have that confidence in your life? Jesus has given us that victory. He spoke clearly about what he did to accomplish our salvation. Jesus Christ, the babe of Bethlehem, lived his life, rendered his service, and finally sacrificed himself as an atonement for our sins on the cross. For us to neglect to hear him speak concerning our need for the forgiveness of sin is to miss what God is saying through Jesus Christ at this and every other Christmas. That's why he came. That's why he came. He's God's love gift to you and me. And for many people, that gift is still unwrapped because they have not opened it in their heart to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. But something else, once we accept him as personal Savior, he is now our advocate at the right hand of God the Father. Having conquered death, hell, and the grave, Jesus Christ is now alive forevermore and serves as our advocate, making intercession for us. Hebrews 7:25 tells us he ever lived to make intercession for you and me. He is at the right hand of God the Father. So that even when we come to a point in our lives, even when we don't even know how to pray, the Bible says he understands the groanings of our heart, and the Holy Spirit takes it, and the Lord Jesus interprets it to God the Father. Whatever our need might be, he's our pleading on our behalf. And when we blow it, and blow it we will, blow it we do, when we cry out for forgiveness, Jesus Christ is there, said, Lord, they've been saved, they messed up, but they're still under the blood. And all they had to do was plead the blood of Jesus Christ. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And if we walk in the light, see us in the light, we have fellowship with one with another. In the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's John writing to believers. That's to you and me. We can't live perfect down here, but we strive to live better and live a more holy life every day. But when we blow it, isn't it wonderful to know he's still a loving, forgiving God, and he's there pleading on our behalf. You see, it's not enough for us to sing beautiful Christmas carols and rejoice in a baby born long ago. We desperately need to listen to what he has to say about God, and then we must respond to what he has to say about our deepest need. And our deepest need is a Savior who offers forgiveness full and free. We'll honor accept it. Question is, are you listening? Are we listening? And thirdly, Jesus is God's supreme word in exaltation. The Bible tells us he's at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. When Jesus came in the flesh, the Jewish people were anticipating a conquering Messiah who would defeat their Roman captors. But Jesus tried to make it clear to his disciples that his kingdom was not an earthly kingdom, yet there would be a final triumph, and Jesus would again be God's last word in it. The final exaltation will come when the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, according to 1 Thessalonians 4:16. With the voice of God, the trumpet of God, and voice of the archangel, he shall descend from heaven. And the dead in Christ, their bodies who have been in the grave, no matter what happened to them and how they died, are going to be reunited with their spirit. They're going to be caught up to the clouds with the Lord to meet him in there. And those of us who are alive and remain will be changed. He's talking about the rapture of the church. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, but quicker than you can blink your eye, we'll be changed. And we'll follow them into glory with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's going to establish his reign on the earth. And we're going to reign with him on earth for 1,000 years. And then eternity will begin. What a wonderful prospect for those who believe in him. Christ was exalted. And God has exalted his name. He was exalted following his resurrection when he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. But his final exaltation will not be fully manifested until the return of Christ. The writer of Hebrews chapter 1, verses 10 through 12, put it like this. Heaven and earth, as we know them, will grow old. Christ will roll them up as one rolls up an old garment and lays it aside to be worn no more. And there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth, according to Revelation 21:1. Scientists have set forth what is called the second law of thermodynamics, the belief that the universe is gradually losing heat and is thus slowly running down. The Bible says it more poetically by describing the universe as an old garment that is gradually becoming worn out. In the face of such prospects, God promises a final exaltation in Revelation 11:15 when he declares the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. He wants you and me to reign with him. The question is, are we listening? Are you listening? Do you really want to reign with him? I don't know why in the world you wouldn't want to. Doesn't make any sense to me to reject this offer of life, eternal life through Jesus Christ. How can it happen? We need to understand something. Jesus Christ was born to be our King, to be number one in our lives. He deserves the place of lordship in our hearts and lives. He deserves first place for all he's done, all he's doing, and all he's going to do. He alone can be our Savior from sin. The Bible tells us plainly there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That name is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. There are not many ways to God. There's only one way. And his name is Jesus, the Christ of God. He is worthy to receive your full surrender to him as your Savior. He's come offering forgiveness and a new life. Have you heard his invitation? Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you find rest unto your souls. Jesus is saying in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open up, I will come in to him and he with me and sup with him and he with me. Jesus, you see, Jesus is knocking on the door, but we have to, there's only one way to open the heart, and that's from the inside. That's from you and me. He's giving the invitation. All we have to do is say, Lord, come in and save my soul. How do we do that? First of all, by admitting that we're a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says the wages of sin is death. Not just physical death, but eternal death, eternal separation from God. But the free gift of God, salvation through Jesus Christ. So we just have to admit, Lord, I've blown it. I'm a sinner. I know I've done things wrong in my life, and I want you to forgive me. Secondly, you need to believe. Believe what? But Jesus, who he says he is. He's the virgin-born Son of God who died upon a cross to take upon himself your sin and my sin. Then you must confess him. The Bible says if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a wonderful promise. Ours is a whosoever will gospel. Whosoever will can come, no matter what's in their life, no matter what they've done, no matter how bad they've blown it. He says, whosoever will can come and be saved and have eternal life. Jesus Christ, listen. He's worthy to receive your full surrender to him as your Savior. He's the best friend you'll ever have. Listen to John 3:16-18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believes is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I don't know how much plainer it can be, folks. The question is, are you listening? Are you listening as God speaks? Have you heard him as he invites you to become intimately acquainted with God? Are you so foolish as to and proud and stubborn to not listen? Are you a self-sufficient, sophisticated, conceited person who feels no need to listen? Are you preoccupied with things that are too busy, that you're too busy to listen? You won't be too busy to die. The Bible says it's appointed to man once to die, but after that, the judgment. It's going to come. Are you willing to listen to him now as he speaks words of assurance concerning the greatness of God's love for you and the wonder of God's plan for your life? Let the Christ of Bethlehem become the King and Lord of your life. Surrender to him as Lord so that you can experience the joy of being what God meant for you to be. God has spoken his final word through Jesus Christ. Listen to his voice and respond today. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 2. Verses 1 through 4. For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at the first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard. God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders, and by various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. God is speaking still. He has spoken in his Son. The final word, he is still speaking today. The question is, are you listening? And the way you demonstrate that you are listening is you respond to his love. Respond to his call to invite him into your heart and to save you before it's eternally too late. That's why he came. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Sometimes we lose that message. Even in celebrating Christmas, we rejoice in the birth that he came, but we need to understand why he came. To reveal God to you and me. To die on a cross, taking upon him, shed his blood, taking upon himself your sin and my sin. Buried, rose again the third day by the power of God. Victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Send it back to the right hand of God the Father. And that same Jesus is saying, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive it to myself. That where I am, there you may be also. He's inviting us to come by opening our hearts to his message of love and forgiveness. Are you listening to his word? Open your heart to him. Let him come in today. We're going to stand and sing, Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us, 161. Would you come as we stand and sing?